welcome into this special bonus edition of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm your host, Sarah Rudolph, and we are super excited to bring you a fun interview today. If you frequent college football Twitter and Instagram like I do, then there is no doubt that you have stumbled upon this account. He's the man behind the viral obstructed view alerts and the youngest person to have visited every FBS stadium in the country. Please join me in welcoming the man behind CFB Campus Tour, Michael Barker. Thank you for being on the podcast today, Michael.
Sarah, I'm honored to be here. I appreciate the introduction, and I'm excited to talk about Conference USA.
Yeah. So, you know, before we get into the CUSA schools, I know you have been busy traveling all over the country this year since week zero. And I think a lot of people follow your content on social media. But can you tell our listeners like how this whole thing got started back in 2017? This is not a new venture.
No, it's not. This is my seventh year doing it. And like a lot of things, it didn't happen with a goal like I'm going to start traveling to all the college football stadiums. I hadn't traveled very much, and I wanted to start seeing the country. My dad played college football. He had a particularly good game at Colorado State when he played, and he told me to go visit. And when I visited, I enjoyed walking around the campus. I stopped at Boulder as well. They had these bronze statues, one of Ralphie and one of a Ram. I had photos, students take my photos with them, and just kind of made a little thing like, hey, do they have this at everywhere? And I started, you know, went to Arizona and knocked out the two schools there, Oregon, the same thing. And then that fall, started traveling to games, went to 13 the first year, somewhere around 30, 2018, 50 in 2019. COVID year still did like 40. And then in 2021, 81 games for the calendar year. And, you know, we're rolling here, knocked out all 133 FBS schools in 5 years. And this year is fun because it's the bonus round. I get to go back to places I feel like either where they were COVID or I want to go back and do it better.
So how many are you planning on visiting in 2023?
So I've gone to 48 games so far. And I think that by the end of the regular season, it's possible to hit 70. And I think that with bowl games and FCS playoff games, I think it's possible to get to 90. So I don't think anybody's ever got close to that. I really am in the schedules trying to find every Saturday a 2-for-1, a noon game and a 7 game. So there's definitely a process to this, but if I could put 90 on the board, I don't know if anybody could touch that. So it's definitely motivating.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't know if anyone could touch that. So you mentioned to me before we, you know, jumped on the call that you have two children as well. And I mean, like, there is a lot of work that goes into planning this. So tell me a little bit, like, what logistically goes into all of this? And do you ever sleep?
So I do sleep, but I do have a strategy where I try to sleep on the plane. So I'm 6'3". It's not particularly comfortable. However, if you're exhausted, you could sleep anywhere. So, you know, go to the game, stay out late, drive wherever you need to be, and try to sleep maybe 2 hours, get yourself on the airplane, and then pass out. And then when you wake up, it's like a pinball machine. You get shot out and you go do it again. And to be honest with you, the students and the crowd, they just energize you everywhere you go.
Yeah.
You may be tired and you want to, you know, lay low during the game, and then you just catch the vibe in the stands and it's amazing. So they get me excited every time. And then just logistically, you know, I live in California and it's probably the hardest place to travel because there's not many games or schools on the West Coast. So, and then you add in the Tuesday games, Conference USA added it this year, flying home on a Sunday and then flying out Monday night because you can't make it from 6 a.m. in California to Jacksonville State or La Tech or something like that. So you just stay out. So I just finished a 26-day road trip where I went to 23 games and went home for about 28 hours, and we're back out until after Thanksgiving. The one thing I tell people is the week zero was August 26th, and the last week of the regular season is November 26th. So essentially, it's a 90-day sprint. It seems like a lot. There's a lot of sacrifice that goes in, but then there's 9 months of, you know, being at home and dreaming about being back on the road. So you gotta enjoy it while you're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, you really have to love it to do a 90-day road trip. You've got to love it.
You got to love it. And whatever I call it, you know, the amazing race, you know, I'll even say like a man test, but you're going to all these places where it's different. You get to know the airports, the freeways, the grocery stores, the parking lots, whatever it might be. And so you have this knowledge that you can share. And you mentioned having social media. I wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for social media, because number one, I get to meet people all the time, which is the best part. And number two, you know, it really is fun to almost be the eyes and the camera for people, because what I'm doing essentially is touching on a principle that every fan thinks about, which is, hey, I love my team. What would it be like to see my team play in this stadium, in that stadium? Well, if you have a guy going to 70, 80, 90 games and showing you stadiums, there might be one that you see that particularly piques your interest. And, you know, if your team is playing there in 2024, that's a place you want to check out. So the social media aspect, the give and take, that I wouldn't be doing if it wasn't for this. So it's amazing.
Yeah. So like going off of that, when you started this in 2017, did you think it was going to blow up this much? Because I mean, it's gotten pretty wild.
It has. And I can remember going to a game in 2017 at San Diego State versus Boise. And I was sitting by myself and a couple of people asked me what I was doing. And I told them what I was. And there was a woman who was an executive with Disney. And she said, you should get on Twitter. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what that is. And so I got on there and I tagged the programs for the games I was going to, and they didn't respond at all. I'm like, what are they not responding for? And so it just picked up from there. You know, there's other people that travel, and so you connect with them. I kind of joke that whatever your number is as far as stadiums you've been to, that's your military rank. And what you're supposed to do is prop up the people that are, quote, beneath you, encourage them. And so that part has been fun. But yeah, it was, again, it was not intentional. And all of a sudden, you know, there's a couple things that happened. People love countdowns. So when I got close to, you know, seeing a game at every FBS stadium, that was good. And then there's been a couple things, you know, we added in the obstructed view alerts and some other things that people like. And you know, I started off the year with 16,000 followers when I went to the USC game. And I'm, you know, probably like 30 followers away from 30,000. So almost doubled in like 60 days. So it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, that's awesome. You're so close. CUSA fans, go follow him. Let's get him
I
to 30K.
I don't want to beg, but please do it. Yeah, let's do it.
Well, so you mentioned obstructed view alerts. How did that start? I'm so curious. I mean, it's hilarious. I know that you get a lot of like flack from fans sometimes when you post one from their stadium, but I think it's so fun and interesting. So where did you get that idea?
So first of all, I would say that it's 96% positive, 4% negative. And the negative is my analogy. If you're driving on the road and you see somebody with a flat tire, you go, oh man, that sucks for them. But then when you get a flat tire, you're like, oh, this sucks for me. So when people are watching all these stadiums with bad seats, they're like, oh, their stadium is terrible. And what a joke. And why don't they fix it? And then when you go to their school and you find it, it doesn't feel so good.
No.
And so for me, I love stadiums more than anyone. And these obstructed seats, they're not just, oh, there's a list of them. You got to go find them. And I've been in these stadiums, you know, multiple times to be able to find them. But it started back in 2019. I went to Wyoming and they have a seat they call is the knot hole, affectionately called that. You only can see about 20 yards of the stadium. It's metal press box stuck out. And I took the photo. But last year I went to Western Michigan during Maction and they have this little two seat behind a brick wall, and I call it the makeout seat or and I had someone take a photo from behind me, and it kind of showed the perspective of the view. And when people saw the back of my head, and you know, you only can see about 15% of the field, it just took off from there. I went to the Barstool Sports bowl game in Arizona. There was one there that went crazy. And then I mentioned the debut this year, week zero, USC. I mean, we're talking about 4 million views, you know, Barstool Sports, Bleacher Report, ESPN. And so it's funny how social media works, because for years you put out all these great, in my opinion, great photos of stadiums, and then people like it. And then you put out this one and go, hey, look at this bad seat. And people go wild. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I feel you on that one. We talk about that in this office a lot. You pour all of your heart and soul into a piece of content that took you a million hours to create. And then one instant you can put our most popular and like biggest, but most viral video that has come out from us this year was a 5-second clip from one of our football games, and that's it. That was all it took.
Wow.
And it's the most viral thing. So, hey, I understand you on that one for sure. Well, so you mentioned going to a couple of our schools this year for our weekday games. If I remember correctly, you got to see a few weekday CUSA games that were pretty good. They kind of like came down to the wire. So tell me about like what your favorite game was of ours that you've been to this year.
So I got to go to 8 of the 9 schools. So Tuesday, Wednesday, 4 weeks in a row. And, you know, historically, the MACtion has been there and Fun Belt. So those conferences I've been to a lot. And when you guys announced before the year that you were playing on the weekdays, you know, I don't care what anybody else say. I was really excited. I loved it. And so the only one I didn't get to was New Mexico State. I had been there in 2021 for the Battle of I-10. So that was one of the most recent. I would say the one game that jumps out at me was Jacksonville State versus Western Kentucky. The stadium is in a little bit of flux. They're redoing the roadside. You actually have to sit on the concrete blocks. But I put out a tweet during the game. Alabama football fans, they don't care. You know,
nope,
well,
they don't.
Put a football game in front of me and I'll sit on a lawn chair. I'll sit on a picnic blanket, whatever it is. And so it was a great crowd. That band for Jacksonville State is amazing. They're like, you know, decibel per square inch, which is not really a real thing, but they're so loud. It overtakes everything. And so I saw them play in COVID spring 2021, probably 20% capacity season opener versus Tennessee Tech when they were in FCS. And, you know, it was nothing. And just to see that crowd come out, have them have such a good record in their first year of FCS or FBS, it was amazing. You know, I went to Liberty, Sam Houston State. That was a great game. Houston State, no wins. Yeah, no wins. And they took Liberty probably further, you know, into deep waters than anybody else. So a bunch of them have been great, but those two, I think, stick out particularly.
Yeah, for sure. And actually, when you were talking about the obstructed view, one of my favorites that you've posted was from Jacksonville State. You're like, there's not really one, but here's one where I can see through this.
Yes, that was. It was almost like a screen door looking through. It was a banner for their championship things. And, you know, you have to make calls on what's a legitimate obstructed view. And you don't want to, I don't want to say throw somebody under the bus, but you don't want to exaggerate or bring attention to something that is not worth it. And so I didn't call it obstructed view. I called it see-through alert, but it's a pretty funny photo. Just imagine a guy looking through a screen door and that's what it looked like. So I'm assuming that when they finish the remodel, it may not be like that, but for that time, it was a pretty fun photo.
Yeah. It'll be really nice once it's all done being constructed. So for our schools, you've been to 8 of the 9 this year. I know you've been to New Mexico State previously, but as far as like the whole game day experience goes, the game, the pageantry, the atmosphere, the tailgating, if you could pick the top one that you've been to for our CUSA schools, which one would you pick? What school would you pick and why?
I'd pick Liberty. So first of all, I know the coaches a lot. They were at Coastal Carolina for 4 years. Or for a few years, I went to 4 games there. Coach Chadwell, Coach Korn, Coach Doyle, I know all those guys. And so when they went there, I was excited, especially with the fact that then you're playing on weeknights too. So I showed up early. They credentialed me. They wanted to showcase if I needed to get somewhere. They wanted me to do it. But I took a video probably 2.5 hours before the game of the students lining up to try to get in the stadium. And it was about a 45-second video where I just walked along the line. The amount of resources that they dump into athletics at Liberty is mind-blowing. And the fact that they're undefeated, probably should be ranked in the top 25, is amazing. They had a great crowd for a weeknight. The stadium holds 30,000, but what I learned is it's expandable to 60,000. Mm-hmm. And there's no stopping these guys. You know, they've gone from small school to FCS to independent to FBS. And look at what they're doing. I talked to the coaches. They said, we don't really have anything in place as far as our own stuff. So scheme and using the talent that they have, they've catapulted to the top of Conference USA. They're probably going to host the title game in a couple weeks, and the crowd really buys into it. So I love it. I saw them play at the 2020 Cure Bowl against Coastal Carolina. They were on the same sideline because of COVID, and it was rough. And so they have strong feelings, and it's a legit big time football environment. So I give a shout out to Liberty.
Yeah, we just had two of their football players on our first episode of the podcast, and it was fun to talk to them. It's definitely exciting. There's some good stuff going on there. I know you posted some fun pictures from Sam Houston too, that the tailgate atmosphere was pretty good there.
Yeah, it was funny because, it's 0-17 playing on a Wednesday. And yes, it's Texas, so they love football. But I saw the tents out there. I was like, why? This is an amazing tailgate. I went down there. Bud Light distributor was there, free unlimited beer, which could get people in trouble,
It's a
but it
good
seemed
or
like
bad thing, who
everybody,
knows?
well, I was shocked. And so, I put out a tweet. I said, okay, everybody, stop what you're doing. This is the best tailgate in the country, unlimited free beer. And but it's cool because you got to do some. We know that there's a trade-off for playing on the weeknights. We know that is, and the MAC has done it for a long time. But what I think has, what I saw Conference USA versus the MAC these last couple weeks is you guys are getting big crowds and the MAC is not. And so you guys are tapping into something that is a little bit different. And whether it's free beer or undefeated football, just keep it going.
Yeah, our big thing this week or this year with the weekday games, we dubbed it Weekday CUSA. It rhymes. It's lovely. But we were, just trying to come up with like a tagline or a slogan. And we had some really fun games that ended on last second field goals, some fun touchdown celebrations. And we were like, you know what? It's just make weekdays fun again. That's what we're going with. So I appreciate that. We have had a lot of fun with it. And, I'm sure it helped your travel schedule a little bit. So you're welcome.
Well, I appreciate it. I was really excited. I hadn't been to La Tech since 2019. There's other. I never saw a FBS game at Jacksonville State. Never saw one at Sam Houston State. And what's interesting about social media is when you go to the weeknight game, it's almost like putting on a TV broadcast. You dominate the airwaves if there's only one or two games. And I could go. I went to Kentucky, Georgia. And they were both 5-0 when it's on a Saturday, and people watched it, but there's 50 other games that people are paying attention to. So when I'm at a game on a Tuesday, Wednesday night is Middle Tennessee State versus Jacksonville State, and maybe there's one like an Ivy League game going on also. People want to see what's going on in the stadium. Middle Tennessee State has the world's largest cotton candy. It's $20 and it takes like 4 minutes to make. And I took a video of it spinning. So those are the kind of things that when you have everyone's attention, you can show them the good aspects that they want to see. So I appreciate it. I hope you guys keep doing it. And somebody said, oh, you didn't go to New Mexico State because you don't like tacos. I grew up in San Diego. I love tacos, and I was very disappointed I couldn't come back. So, New Mexico State is number one on my list next year.
All right, you heard it here first, folks. I mean, who doesn't like tacos? How dare they say that to you?
Yeah, Twitter just throws out slanderous accusations, so you got to let it roll off your back. But that one stuck. That hurt my feelings. So
Yeah, it.
we gotta make up for it.
Okay, we're gonna make good in 2024. Well,
I did go to the Battle of I-10 in UTEP at the
you
100th
did.
game, so I can't do much better than that. And I went to the one in 2021 in New Mexico State. So if they want me to
Yeah.
make it up to them, I love them. I'll do it. That's fine.
Perfect. Well, you talking about tacos, it's a perfect segue into my final question for you. So we do a fun segment on the show called CUSA Eats. So my question for you is, you've been to all nine of our campuses at some point over the last couple of years, and we want to know what is the single best meal you've had in one of our communities? Can you remember any?
So first of all, the Sun Bowl is my favorite stadium, and I do tons of podcasts and interviews, and that's one question they always ask. And so it surprises people. They'll go, oh, I'll name 60 different stadiums. And but I've met the AD Jim Center. We just keep running to each other all the time. I went to three straight UTEP games, home and road. I've talked to him about wanting to have some kind of official affiliation with the Sun Bowl. If I'm the stadium guy and that's my favorite stadium, let's do something. So you always throw things out there. But in UTEP, the Mexican food is just as good as California. And so you go down there and you get some of the most authentic stuff. It has a different little touch on it. So I would say going to some of the restaurants in El Paso, that would be my favorite.
Yeah, I mean, you can literally throw a rock into Mexico from the top of the Sun Bowl, it seems.
And that's something I tweeted out. So those are things that people love, like the intricacies. So Interstate 10 runs literally behind the Sun Bowl. One side is United States, one side is Mexico. When you're in the Sun Bowl, it's 4,000 foot elevation. The roadside bleachers are carved into the mountain. It's a very serene atmosphere, but when you're looking beyond the scoreboard, you're looking into a foreign country, and nobody can say that. And so when I talked to some people there, they said, yeah, the Sun Bowl is the best kept secret. I said, it's built in 1963. It should not be the best kept secret. It should be out there. It has the second longest, most longest running bowl game behind the Rose Bowl. It's an incredible place. I joke that, you know, I want my ashes spread in every FBS stadium a little bit, but if people don't want to do it, just throw me in the Sun Bowl. I'll be happy. So the food in El Paso is amazing. The people in El Paso are amazing. And, you know, if anybody's listening, I want, you know, CFB Campus Tours, Sun Bowl, some kind of affiliation. It would be great.
I love it. You hit the nail on the head there. That is one of the most unique, and it's beautiful, stadiums in the country. So thanks for giving UTEP a shout out there. I'm sure they will really appreciate it. Well, Michael, that is really good. Well, that's really all I have for you today. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. This guy, he gives the best insider look at stadiums around the country from a fan's perspective, which is super unique. And it was so fun to have you on the podcast today. Go give him a follow on X or Twitter, as I still like to call it, and Instagram at CFB Campus Tour. And also, Michael, this is your official invite to the 2023 CUSA Football Championship. It's on a Friday, December 1st, so you should be able to make it. It is at Liberty.
And you know, the only other game right now on that day is the Pac-12 Championship, and it's being played in that, I call it a hockey puck or a Roomba, the Raiders Stadium in Las Vegas. And college football is not meant to be played in a NFL stadium. And the fact that Conference USA is playing their championship game at home for the team that played the best and earned it, that's the way it's supposed to be. So I love it. So I would love to be there and go back and check out that atmosphere. And I've been watching the standings. So hopefully I can take you up on your offer.
All right. You got an in. You got somebody on the inside now. So, all right, guys, Finally. Thank you guys for joining us so much today. Don't forget to connect with us on X and Instagram at CUSA Insider Pod. Follow and subscribe to the podcast on Apple and Spotify, and send us your questions and comments via email at CUSAinsider@conferenceusa.com. We will be back for your regularly scheduled programming next Wednesday, November 15th. We hope you will tune in then. Thanks again for listening to CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph, signing off.